Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my old friend Michael Feldman.
And
Wait a minute. Let me turn your mic on.
Hi, Lair.
Hi, Michael. Oh, gosh. 25 years of What Do You Know?
Yeah, that's what everyone is saying. I'm sorry we even celebrated it, to tell you the truth. We should have just not even mentioned it, you know.
Why?
Glanced over it. Because it's like, you know, you were saying before, anyone who has remembrances. What is it? So wake? Call in with your remembrances of Michael. And what you recall him best for. So it's been, you know, it's kind of a, because then what you got to do is you review your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, especially your career part of it.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but it's just, you know, it gives you a queasy feeling.
Yeah. It's been fun though, hasn't it?
Yo, it's been great. I've enjoyed it, you know. But it's not over, you know. That's the thing. That's I don't think. I got at least 26 years in me. I know that.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you go.
How long have you been doing it?
That's just what I was going to say. I've been, I might have been 6 or 7 when I started on the air.
Right. Yeah, I seem to recall that.
40 some years ago, I started as a student in 1967. So,
well, there you go.
What is that? That's 43?
I can't even do that math.
And I've avoided any of those landmark celebrations.
Yeah, smart. You're a smart man. You're a smart man.
Well, you know, I should let people know they could call in with questions or comments. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Give us a call with your questions or comments to Michael. Lots of people are calling in. Did you ever think you were going to be doing this for 25 years or longer?
No. Well, you know, radio, you're 18 months and you're fired.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
That, you know, it seems to me that's sort of the ratio, 18 months. And if you can stay on the air longer than 18 months, it just proves you can stay on forever. That's it, you know, because you fly below the radar and they don't even think to fire you after a while. You know? It certainly didn't.
Well, I think Bob's got a good question for you from Burlington. That's probably a good almost lead-off question. So let's go there. Okay. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I'm an over-the-road driver. And I listen to NPR all the time, and I look so forward to hearing your program because it's witty and intelligent. And
Larry's, you mean?
But the question I had was how did the idea for this program originate? I mean, was it your idea? Somebody come up with it and just think of you, or how did it start?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure how that happened. It was just like the perfect storm. What happened? I was at WHA doing a show, and then I got a job at WGN in Chicago. It came up, and I couldn't really pass that up, although they passed me up pretty quick once I got down there. And so I was unemployed in Chicago, and I went into unemployment there on Division Street and said, they said, what are you looking for? I said, radio host. I'll start at 40K. And, you know, we can go from there. And he said, well, we have lawn care. You know, and it's like 5.65 or something an hour. I almost went for it, but instead, what happened was Jack Mitchell got a hold of me from Wisconsin Public Radio, my former boss, and said, why don't you come back here and do a show? And I didn't want to do it. And so I had to meet him up in Rockford at the Clock Museum there, because it was exactly halfway between Chicago and Madison, and Jack was wearing a trench coat and a fedora pulled on. I don't even know what the big deal was. And he said, well, you want to come back? And I said, well, what? So along the way, I thought of a preposterous idea. I thought, which is do a national show from Madison, from Vilas Hall, whatever, live call in and make it a quiz show so we wouldn't have to talk about anything important. And live audience and jazz band, because these musicians really depend on me for their income and always have around here. And he said, well, let's give it a try. I was Jack. I do the only good Jack Mitchell imitation, and no one knows. So that's sort of how it happened. It was, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I always wondered about that because, I mean, it's such a great program and it's got such a good run that I look so forward to hearing it. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling,
really
Bob.
Appreciate it.
Well, Eugene in Viola has a question as well. Hi, Eugene.
You taught English at one time, am I correct, Michael?
You are correct.
Yeah. Have you ever had any of your former students on the show?
Yeah, well, they've come back. They've been in the audience. I don't know if anyone's played the quiz or not. But yeah, but and I've talked with them and so forth, and some of them still owe me papers. But it's not their fault. And some of them I owe papers. I used to have a stack of these. That's why I went into radio, really, was all the papers. And you got to read them and correct them and then suggest what the, you know, and it was really a lot of, yeah, I have a backlog that exists to this day of English papers.
Okay, thank you.
All You're right, welcome. Thanks for calling. Jim in Madison. Is this Jim Packer? No, I doubt it. Jim, yeah. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Michael and Larry.
Hi.
Jim Sanders. You may or may not remember
you played.
Me.
You were a drummer.
That's right. Yeah. And John Seeger was your partner, and you were the lyricist for the group.
Yes. We still do. I still do lyrics with John every so often. Yeah. They just get more and more obscure as we go on.
I see. Well, I used to be the stupid drummer. Now I'm a composer. I've composed more than 700 pieces of music.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I'm still going strong with the drumming and putting it in here and there. I've done a lot of ethnic stuff. Played with the Klezmer Group for about 8 years in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Covering all bases. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, nice to hear from you.
Well, good to hear you, Mike.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling. Well, Jenny and Eau Claire, let's go to you. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for calling.
Actually, it's Jeannie, but that's okay.
Oh,
hi, Michael.
Sorry.
Hi.
I hope you, yeah, formerly WPR, I am.
Yes. How are you?
A great fan. I just wanted to comment on your Y2K show.
Yeah.
At the Orpheum.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the end of 99, it was just so hilarious, and the chicken on the stage.
The chickens, we had chicken.
It's one of those nights of mayhem and madness that I don't think I'll forget.
It was terrifying to do it. We had chickens, the chicken dash predictions.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So I don't remember what the chicken predicted, do you?
No, it doesn't matter, really, at this point. And one of the chickens escaped, actually, into the Orpheum, and I think they got him back. We had a chicken wrangler there, but I was afraid. Those things are scary.
They'll charge you.
Yeah.
And we had flashlights, too, I think.
Yeah, flashlights. And I were up there in this little elevated stage at the Orpheum Theater in this old movie house in Madison. And it was very scary. It was this ricky little stage on top there. And I there's nowhere for me to go. And all these people were pointing flashlights at me. And it was Y2K. It was like we were going to midnight, you know, to see if everything shut down. And it didn't, but I was totally freaked out by the end of that experience. Almost as bad as 25 years.
Jeannie.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm going to miss your 25th anniversary show because I'm going to be out of town. But good luck, and I hope you have another 25 or so more.
Yeah, thank you. Or so is the key word there.
Or so. And speaking of that, the event is coming up.
Oh, it is.
Friday night?
You betcha.
August 9th, so that's Friday night.
No, it's Friday night, August 13th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why do I say have
Friday
August
Friday the 13th, but that's a good thing.
All right. Oh, Friday the 13th. That's right.
Yeah. Hence the remembrances and so forth. Friday night, Union Theater there at Wisconsin Union Theater. We get in there
in
about 7:30 in Madison. And Robbie Foulkes, great singer, folk singer. I don't know what you call him, folks. He's a country singer, really. And his band will be there, and a tremendous. We got a lot of guests. Tammy Baldwin's going to be there for some congressional purposes. I don't know if it's read into the record or so. You know, it's something like that. But there's a lot of stuff be going on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's so. Can people still get tickets? Or
you betcha.
Oh,
Larry. They can walk right in there and sit right down. As far as I'm concerned, yeah. I think we got a few. They're going like hotcakes.
Yeah, actually, there aren't a lot left, but there are some left, I think.
Yeah, and most of the ones, like hotcakes.
So
people
how do
have been
they get
buying and pouring syrup on them and just flipping them.
So how do people get tickets?
Oh, you can get them through the Union Box office, or you can go online at our site, notmuch.com, and probably get them that way. But the best way is the Union Box office, and I don't happen to have that number. But
no, that's all right. That's easy enough to find it.
Yeah.
And if they can't make it on Friday the 13th.
Or you can walk right up, too, I think, and just get them there. I suspect there'll be some.
Probably be a few. And then if they can't make it to Madison.
No.
We will be airing the show live on the Ideas Network.
Yeah, isn't that something?
So from Friday night from 8 to 10, if you can't make it to Madison to see Michael in person, and Michael and the gang.
Yeah.
Tune in to your favorite Ideas Network radio station at 8 o'clock, and there you'll be.
Yeah, I don't work well at night. I'm a morning person, so this is going to be a struggle to stay awake, plus with the medication and everything. It's going to be an entirely different show.
Oh, well, but you're still going to do the quiz and everything.
I don't know what's going to – I don't work after 6 in the evening for metabolism reasons and –
What's the best thing about being a quiz master, by the way?
You have all the answers.
Yeah.
As long as you have your index cards. And you know, I have a little recipe box, which I keep stopping me for in airports because we travel a lot with the show. And, it's hard to explain why there's a little metal box in the bag you're carrying. Plus, I have a doctor's bag, and that's suspicious to begin with. And but that the recipe box has all the questions in it and all the answers, more importantly. So it's a great feeling of
power.
Yes, thank you. That was the word I was searching for, John, which I don't have usually in life.
John and McFarland, hi.
Hey, good morning. I have a question. What are all the venues that you've been at? Can you tell us what they were, kind of in order? And then secondly, how long has Jim been with you the whole time?
Oh, venues here in Madison?
Yeah, venues in Madison.
Well, we started it right down here in Philo Buck Studio, which was used for storage at the time. And I think it might be back to that now, but it's a nice old radio studio. They used to do the radio dramas and stuff mm-hmm. from there. So it's a nice little studio. And then we got thrown out of there, and we went in the parliamentary room, which was really just a little viewing room here they got. We were there for a couple of years. And then we went to State Street to the Civic Center. Like not the main Civic Center, but a little hall they had, a little offshoot. Like it was a coat room or something. And we had to put in benches and risers and stuff in there, and that wasn't so satisfactory. And then I think we went to the terrace from there, where we still find ourselves.
Yeah. What about the hotel down in West Wash?
Well, that was a previous lifetime.
That was a different show.
Oh, that was a different life. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The Hotel Washington, the Club de Wash.
Yeah.
That was our Saturday morning show called AM Saturday, because it was on
okay.
the AM and it was Saturday. Jack thought of that one.
I like that venue.
That was good. Except we had nurses coming off their shift. It was at 9 in the morning, and all the nurses, for some reason, come off their shift at 9 in the morning, and they come down and drink Bloody Marys, back to back. Throughout. And John Tooling, who was with me even then, our piano player, saying, this is the only talk show where people come to talk, and they totally oblivious to the show we're trying to do.
thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. Michael Feldman, our guest today as we talk about his 25 years.
Stop saying that.
And he looks
say his years.
He looks good for all those years.
Considering.
Larry Mueller here. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Michael Feldman of What Do You Know? And he's been doing it for a long time. I won't say that. I won't give
three or four number. Years. I don't know.
3 or 4 years.
They forgot to fire me. That's all it amounts to.
You even have a CD.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We do. The first 25 are the hardest.
Yeah.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Yeah, I mentioned it again. But what can you do? It's a double CD. It's our Silver Jubilee Anniversary CD. It's available on notmuch.com and also CD Baby and hopefully Amazon shortly. And it's got a lot of moments in there that you may recall if you've been listening to every one of them, I guess, over the years. Jim Packard is featured prominently in there. Well, he's got a minute and 12 seconds of it.
He's got a – should we play that one?
Yeah, that's really the height of the
All CD, right. Well, yeah. let's see if we can play one of the cuts. If I did this right, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Now, the man who says, Je l'écheve, mais timbre moi-même, Michael Feldman.
Jim, that was impeccable as always. We do have a French person here, though, so let's just find out what Jim... Nellie, would you come down here for just a second, please? Please, just... We need your help on something here. It's Nellie, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. She is French. Where are you from in France?
Central Western France, close to the Loire Valley.
Where would that be?
Idaho, then? France.
Near the castles.
Near the castles.
And, oh, yes.
Would you read that? Where's that line, Jim?
That
I'm
line?
Not going to take your copy. Just let her see it.
Just get your hand away from it then.
Just give it to me for a second. Jim, you are so paranoid. Where is the line here?
It's misspelled.
No, he wrote it out phonetically. Then.
Je lècherai mes timbres moi-même, which means I shall lick my stamps myself.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Oh, man.
I shall lick my stamps myself. Voltaire said that, I think, originally.
Oh, so
see, I get to write those intros. That's the most fun, is, and so I can do what I want and give Jim, you know, whatever. So, and he took French. Before going to France, he took a course, which is really, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to do if you're going to France, try to speak the language. But that's as far as he got, apparently, was that.
Well, he has informed me that in his own defense that you're writing is not the clearest sometimes.
No, that's because my brothers are doctors.
Oh, man. Doug and Eau Claire, let's go to you. Hi, Doug. Thank you very much for calling. Doug, are you there? Oh, wait a second. Let me turn you up. There you are. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I love the show. I think it's great. I may only be about 24 years old, but my dad, he's listened to the NPR and WPR for most of his life, and he got me hooked onto your show, and I've listened to as many episodes as I possibly can.
Yeah, well,
one question has always arose for me. I listen to your show, and I get how you pick the contestants that are actually at the studio with you, but how do you pick the contestants that are going to be on the calling in?
Well, we have a quiz question. We have a question for them that they have to answer, which they hardly ever do. And if they don't, I often give it to them. But, you know, they call in and they're supposed to wait until the question is asked, you know. They never do because we have like eight lines or whatever and they're all filled up. And so sometimes I ask them what the question is and that stops them. But, yeah, it's as simple as that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, Doug.
Yeah, he's 24. He might have been even conceived during the show. I had a call-in one time. People, if you think you were or can prove that you were conceived during What Do You Know? And we did get a few people.
Did you?
Yeah. So that's worth thinking about.
The conceived or the conceivers?
Well, you know, then we got to come back. I feel like we've raised them to adulthood and everything. So it's a lot of responsibility.
The number to call, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Matt in Hatfield.
Good morning, guys. I just want to say I'm listening to my two favorite radio personalities, and congratulations, Michael.
Thank you. We should team up, actually. Yeah. I was trying to get Larry interested in doing some.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I wanted to say, I just remembered 15, 20 years ago when I was in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin looking for something to listen to. Push the button, and there you were. And ever since there, I've been hooked, you know, almost every Saturday.
Oh, thanks. Have you been to it?
I've been to it a couple times, yeah. And it's really a good thing to do if people haven't been there. And
it is fun.
And you can get that out of the way and go on with your life. You know, once you actually see it, you think, okay, well, that's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, you probably made me snort more drinks out of my nose than, you know, anybody.
Well, I was worried about that one.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know where this rivalry between you and Keeler started. How did that start?
There is no rivalry because obviously if there was, he won it, and, you know, so overwhelmingly that I would hesitate to say. I think it started because when we first started doing the show, we were trying to promote the idea of it and what it was, hybrid, you know, if Larry King married Phil Donahue, it would sound, you know, I don't know, some stupid thing like that. And then we said it was in the stuff, and I wrote all the promotional stuff. And I said the show that Garrison Keillor would be doing, Where He Living Today. And so people were saying, oh, Garrison died? And I said, no, I meant if you were doing a contemporary show, you know, in real time instead of a mythological city somewhere. And I think that got back to him. So I think right off the bat I was.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah. Although he did say at one point that he never listened to the show, but he heard that I was an insult comic, and that was not his cup of tea. So I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks much.
Go
guys.
Figure.
Keep going.
Thanks for calling. And, you know, we played a cut of Jim speaking French from your CD, and then I failed to mention that people can actually purchase the CD.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot
about
that.
Sure.
And go online to What Do You Know?
Well, notmuch.com is a good place to start, or CD Baby, which is an online, like an Amazon thing online. And Amazon's going to have them shortly, too, hopefully. Or come to the show and buy one there in person. And Jim will actually sell it to you and give you your change.
All right. We've got an email from John in Milwaukee. A friend of mine thinks that he played tennis against you when he was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play tennis when you were in high school? And what school did you attend in Milwaukee?
Well, it was the eliminations of the. I was trying out for the tennis team. I got eliminated in round one by playing. So it would have to be Ricky Dominance is the only guy I actually played. And it was really embarrassing because I had bought my letter jacket already because I figured at least I would get my numbers, you know.
Yeah.
Which were, I hate to say it, but there was 66 were the numbers, you know. And so Ricky Dominance was a large guy, but he was an incredible natural athlete and just demolished me in, you know, straight sets. And so I had this jacket. I didn't wear this jacket until years later I wore it just to change the oil and stuff. So that was my only tennis experience, really.
All right. Well, I was Mark says, emailed, said I was lucky enough to read the four disclaimers on your show. Since then, I wondered whether there is a real legal reason why they are read during every show.
I don't think so, actually. The only problem we ever had legally was when we used to, the town of the week, we used to call people. I would call them. We'd go to town of the week and Jim would do his thing. And then, that's our town of the week. And then I would, and we had the stupid dial phone, which never worked. Because one of the numbers was missing. So I would keep dialing people, and it turned out the number 5 didn't work on the phone. And they blame me every week. The engineers say, you know, it was trying to get through each week. The show would end like that. I was trying to call someone. I couldn't get a number. But I would get people, and it would be a cold call. I'd say, hi, this is Michael Feldman. You're on the air right now, and whatever. You're a town of the week. And then we were NPR at the time, and the lawyer from NPR said, you can't do that. That's invasion of something.
Oh.
Home invasion or privacy, whatever. And so that's when Lyle started dialing and, you know, off the air. But it was pretty good. It was a good moment on the show.
So, yeah, so he calls to say, would you mind being on the show, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. So that was the only legal thing. The four disclaimers is just, I don't know what it is.
Now, there legally, you married someone on the air, did you not?
My wife.
No, I mean from Alaska.
She was used to come to the show. I married her. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean you served as the marrier.
Yes. In Alaska, you can do that.
Yeah.
All you got to do is when this guy called said we couldn't get tickets to the show. What about if you married us on there? Would you let us in? You know, he's a romantic at heart. He's this ice climber out there in Alaska. He was from New York, actually. This beautiful Swedish girl, and she was an ice climber too. And I guess they climbed ice together. I have no idea. But anyway, and so he said, okay, let's go see if we can do that. And so you go to any judge in Alaska and get this little paper. It says you can do it if they really want to. You got to, I don't know, and there's no blood tests or anything. I don't know. They don't care in Alaska. And I married him on the stage. We had a semi-Jewish. He was Jewish and she was Swedish. So two issues, it was okay. And then we had a little canopy, you know, for the Jewish part, and we had a moose head.
For the other part?
Yeah, and so it was, that was just for the Alaska part. We didn't have anything Swedish. And, it was kind of nice. And I think it was legal, as far as I know.
And as far as you know, they're still married?
Yeah.
Climbing ice? And
yeah, so we do, we're full service.
Do you find yourself, this is from Peter in Fort Atkinson, do you find yourself getting some inspiration from Groucho Marx?
Not at this point. I always loved Groucho, but, you know, I definitely watched his TV show when I was little. He always struck me as being like one of our family members, you know.
Yeah.
He sounded like everyone else in my family, you know. So I'm not saying it's an ethnic thing necessarily, but there is certain, and my dad, David A. Feldman, CPA and master of asides. So dad would always make these little jokes, but he'd say them just out of the corner of his mouth so only you could hear the punchline, you know, which was usually, you know, off color, being my father. I guess stylistically I'd be closest to Dave Feldman.
All right. Maria in Lake Geneva, we turn to you. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. What a pleasure. We so look forward to your show, Michael,
as always,
as many, many other NPR shows. But besides being such a great wit, you exude such a kindness to your guests. And I remember, it wasn't this Christmas, but I think it was around the previous holiday season, and you had a young, was a college girl, very excited to be on the show and being interviewed. And one of the things, when you got interviewing her, she went to a Christian college, and her goal was to convert all the Jewish people to be Christians. And you, I think there was a gasp from the whole audience, but you handled her in such a nice way and a real kindness, because you could tell she was a young girl. And I think that's what makes you so appreciative by your listeners.
Well, I converted.
Oh, did you?
I thought I'd throw her a bone. You know, what the heck? I still don't go to church or temple, but, you know. No, I seem to recall that, actually. But
it was
for extra credit. I didn't grudge her that.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Oh, Barbara in Elkhorn has some exciting news, I believe.
Oh, good.
Hi, Barbara.
I don't know how exciting it is, but, Michael, it seems like the 25-year aspect is kind of wearing you down a bit.
Just a bit.
And you'll be kind of even more surprised. Last night I checked out Robbie Falk's. Well, I have tickets to your show with some family up there in Madison.
Yeah.
I'm down here in Elkhorn. But I went to the Robbie Falk's website and checked it out and scrolled down his calendar. You won't believe what he has for
I've
the
seen
13th.
It. I've seen it, yeah.
125 years is what he says you're celebrating. And he says you're celebrating the What Happened in show.
Yeah. 125 years of What Happened.
Find you there?
Yeah, he's a joker, that Robbie.
You mean he did that on purpose?
I suspect.
I figured he did it. I don't know too much about him. I mean, he sounds very talented just listening to some of his clips, you know?
Oh, he's amazing. But he's also got this really weird sense of humor, so I suspect that.
So he's right up there with you. He takes anything and can twist it around a little bit and get a laugh out of it.
Yeah, the difference is he can sing like Hank Williams.
He can. You know, that's kind of... That was what I heard. I heard some Hank Williams in his voice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
One.
And I'll tell you what. My company is one of your big kahuna winners on your game show. And it's my sister-in-law. Her name's Terry. Do you remember the episode where she sold toilet paper, but she couldn't disclose how much the lawyers paid for their toilet paper up there in Madison? That's my husband's sister.
Oh.
So she got tickets for us. We'll be there waving.
I think that's on the CD. I'm not sure. But it's probably on a double CD somewhere.
They must run together, as many as you've had. My one other favorite contestant was Bubba, and he was a southern fella. And I believe he was a cook at work, and he called in on the game show.
Carbondale, he was a butcher.
Oh, God, that guy was...
He was a meat artist, I think he called himself, something like that.
Yes, and was he not funny?
He was great.
By the time we got through all the questions, because he went for the five, and the way he was so sharp and witty, he blew us all away with the laughter and everything else. But you find him and you pull out the jokes.
Yeah.
And we do look forward. This will be my third visit to your show, and I can't wait. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Well, good.
Thank you very much.
Wasn't a typo error. I kind of didn't think it was.
No, it actually has been 125 years. We're just celebrating the last 25 of it.
It feels like it, maybe. But there'll be 50 more. Come on, Michael. You got it in you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye, Barb. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. By the way, Barb mentioned that she will be at the event on Friday the 13th, the evening of, where you need to be there by 7:30 at and where is it again?
The Union Theater, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, right off the terrace there.
Right off.
The big Union Theater.
The big Union Theater.
Historic Wisconsin Union Theater.
And the tickets, I'll give a phone number here for the tickets because I happen to have that in front of me now. It's area 608. 262-2201, 608-262-2201, or just go to notmuch.com.
Yeah,
there
we'll
you
do it.
There you have it. Frank in Red Wing, Minnesota, up next. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Say, I used to listen to you a lot when I was listening through Minnesota Public Radio, but you take your show on the road quite a bit, I understand. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was just wondering how would, our local theater, if we wanted to sponsor you, how do you go about that sort of thing?
Where are you?
In Red Wing, Minnesota.
In Red Wing, yeah. And are we heard in Red Wing?
Well, Well,
not easily, probably.
Find you for quite a while.
Yeah,
so
put up a mast antenna.
My public radio isn't carrying you again, or what? But,
yeah, you probably can get something out of Hudson. Maybe drifts over there or Superior.
Yeah.
Or, if we can be heard there, then we could set up a show there. That's all it takes. You know, we go and let's put on a show kind of thing. You know, like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney used to do.
Yeah.
And
sure.
You know.
You bring Judy Garland too.
Yes, they'll all be there. They'll all be there in my mind. And yeah, so, you know, just let us know what you got there and drop us a note or an email or something. And the only disclaimer I would say is if we can't be heard there or if you can only hear us on your teeth or something,
yeah, all right.
Then it might be a little bit of a problem. But I'd love to do Red Wing. That'd be great.
Oh, well, that'd be fun. All right. Yeah, we got a pretty little theater over there that does quite a variety of stuff. So.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
All right. Great. That's it.
Thank you.
And speaking of that, Barb from Superior wonders when you'll be coming back to Superior. She saw you when you came 15, 20 years ago somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we might go to Duluth, but I don't know if we'll get to Superior. Yeah. It's kind of a long drive over that bridge. No, I'd love to go back. We had a great time up there. Fabulous. That area is just terrific. That's like a part of Wisconsin that we should promote more, you know. It's so cool up there. It's like a little nautical village up there, you know, that great harbor and everything.
Beautiful place.
It's gorgeous. And yeah, I'd love to come back there.
And did you ever do Big Top Chautauqua?
Yes.
Remember?
Well, we did a show up there.
Phoebe LeSurge?
Phoebe.
Phoebe? Is
yes.
It? I'm trying to read. I can't.
Do I remember her? She's etched
Phoebe.
On my.
Phoebe.
Whatever that would be. My id.
That was John and Superior wondering if you. Another call from Superior wondering if you remembered Phoebe LeSurge.
Wasn't it Legere? LeSurge?
I
remember
idea.
Phoebe, yes. She played the accordion in a very short skirt. And she was just terrific. She was great. That was the same show. Actually, we have this bit here on the on the CD with Ed Erickson from up in Bayfield, or he's from Hurley actually. And that's the great story about him. And he has a barge up there,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a landing craft from the war or something that he uses to haul stuff around. And his son froze the barge into the lake, and they tried to free it, and they blew it up with dynamite instead. But that was that same show there, up there, Bayfield.
And here's another. Gretchen says, my sister has a very funny story about being a student of yours at Tremper High School.
Hmm.
Dinner at your house, a pistachio nut fight with the couches turned into, on their sides, as shields. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. And I think it was not me. It was probably... We had a social studies teacher did that kind of thing, but it was, I don't recall that.
All right.
Sounds like it's probably true, though, doesn't it?
It does sound like it. It certainly sounds like it could be true. Oh, man. 1-800-642-1234, the number for you to join in. Dan in Kenosha, let's go on to you.
Yes, I was actually in Michael Feldman's English class at Tremper High School.
You were? Dan who?
In 1971. Nice to hear you again.
Dan who?
I'm fine, thank you.
No, Dan, what's your last name?
Rock, R-O-C-K.
Dan Rock.
Yes.
Wow. 71?
Yes, it was a lot of fun, and I actually did learn something in the class, too.
Do you remember what it was? Because I really, I don't know what I was doing there.
The one thing I wanted to say, though, I was at the show quite a few years ago, probably about 15 years ago, well before you moved to Monona Terrace,
mm-hmm.
and I remember being there and using the bathroom and coming out of the bathroom, and it's like there everybody was. They were just like standing around in a hallway outside of the bathroom before you went on the air.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just going to be a little bit more classy than that. It was
no, it's even less classy than
milk
that.
Crates and stuff like that. It was just very strange.
You're lucky you didn't see us standing around in the bathroom. We were minutes before, and we were just, you know, kind of brushing ourselves off. Well, you know what it is? We don't have a green room. I've never had.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
There's a green room. I know their new location at Monona Terrace is really nice. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's a very nice place.
It wasn't built with me in mind. Frank Lloyd Wright wasn't thinking about Mike Feldman, apparently. But no, I've never had a green room, except in the one place we're at the center on State Street there for a while. There was a great bathroom with showers and stuff in it. And there were no seats in the actual auditorium. Was the only problem. So it was a trade-off. You either get a really good green room where you get seats. You know.
There you have it, Dad. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. On these trips, do you have a memorable trip that they're all memorable, I suppose.
I get to do cool things. We did. I flew the dirigible over Akron. You know, the Goodyear.
Oh yeah. Blimp.
Yeah, they let me do
that's
that.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember. The guy says, "You pull back." When their nose goes up, you either pull back or push forward. And I have a problem with that type of direction. It's a dysfunction. I honestly do. Even when I'm driving, I can't remember which pedal or whatever. I know it's a learning disability. And so the thing was bucking. They might have reported it on the ground. And I was bucking over. It's those big dirigibles. It was really kind of, it was cool in a way, but it was, I was bucking over Akron. That was, so you got to do stuff
that's
like
gotta
that.
Be the,
you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
We did the Hummer test track in South Bend, you know, and you drive down a hill at a 45 degree angle in one of these big army type Hummers. And the guy says, "All right, you go right to the edge of the hill." He says, "Now take your foot off the brake and just hit the gas and it will brake itself." You know, the idea was that the engine braking going down the hill, and you don't believe it. It's a really leap of faith because it's like death. You know, if you can't brake going down. But sure enough, it went over and went
down. But, and you win.
The problem was I was following Jim around on the track, and he is the slowest driver. You know, so I would be going through the mud and the terrain and the pools of water and stuff, and Jim was there with his signal on, so it tended to ruin the experience, but.
But all in all, it's been a pretty good
run. It's been a good run. It's a shame that it's over. Apparently.
It's not over.
Okay.
It's not over until it's over.
Thanks, Larry.
And thank you so much. And by the Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
At the...
this Friday night.
Yeah, it's a Friday night, 7:30. Yeah. People need to show
7:30.
Up. For tickets, call 608-262-2201 or go to notmuch.com.
Right.
That's to attend. You can also just, if you can't make it, you can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio from 8 to 10 on Friday the 13th and hear the live show. Mm-hmm. And if you want the CD, you go to notmuch.com or go to...
CD Baby or what have you.
Been a great pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, Lara, thanks as always.
We'll see you in another 25 years.
All right. You betcha.
Hopefully before that. Michael Feldman, our guest, and... I tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun on Friday the 13th. That's a lucky night.
Yeah.
That Friday the 13th is a lucky night. Well, tell you what, we're going to switch gears and talk with you about art and art pottery next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.